the biggest game of the year, the most anticipated game of the year. That's on Saturday. That means that this is the biggest Tuesday of the year, and it's a talking Tuesday on the beat with television's Adam King of 10TV. That we've got to step up our game. It's time to play for hardware, hardware in the team room, asking questions of Ryan Day on a normal Tuesday.
I think that we should give a trophy for the best question every Tuesday.
Gold pants.
Gold pants. And we'll bet you pass it around. Because like I think we probably
want a gold vest.
Yeah, that would be great. And after every, and we let Jerry decide. After
for every, one last time.
One last time. Hey, you, who had the best question? Boy, I have so many questions. My
That's
first question
about.
To Ryan Day is very simple. And this is the actual question I'm going to ask. I figured it out early on in the year. Because we've never really been able to talk about it.
This isn't a hypothetical question. This is a real question.
Real question. Okay. I'm going to ask this. How much did that meeting last year change your perspective, your planning, your play calling into this year's game? Because we know how it impacted the team last year.
Yeah.
But we've all heard the story of the, you know, players outwardly talked about it, the vulnerable meeting he had where they pretty much said who was calling plays, what went wrong, like what the heck. And
were those the words?
It might have been.
Yeah.
It could have been. And with that, when you're that vulnerable, when you're at a point where your players who you're the leader of are asking you why or how, that puts you in a weird spot. And he obviously responded well because they got a shiny trophy in the Woody. But this is his first chance to respond to that performance in the game that caused all those issues.
Yeah.
So, Do we not have to deal with a world, and I know I don't like this word, and I get it, of toughness and physicality, because
well, you're still going to have to be tough on Saturday.
Yes,
but still going to have to play physically on Saturday.
Yes, but Ohio State is always tough. They are always physical. But what makes them the best program in America is that while they'll match your toughness and your physicality, they also have just silly good athletes on the outside that can beat you one-on-one any day of the week, sometimes two-on-one. Now, I think Ryan proved to us all in the past year that he is by far the best coach in college football, and how he's responded to all this in the play calling. I have no questions about any of it. So I'm just curious. Like, you have to be curious until you're proven correct. Like, are we going to see, I believe he said when we hit the gas, we'll need to hit the gas. Are we going to see that, and are we going to see Ryan Day treat this like Oregon, like Tennessee? Like, I wish they would copy the game plan from Oregon. It may not work to the same level, but just copy that mindset.
It's the question. Mm-hmm. And
it's the game.
It's the
beat.
All of those things.
Yeah.
It is the primary topic of conversation this week. And I don't know if he can even answer it on a talking Tuesday, because the proof is going to be on Saturday at noon. But there are a lot of other things that he could address about that, about the change in approach, about the change in mentality, the way he's tried to lead this program. We're seeing some of this with, you know, in the grand picture, minute details, having a Tuesday press conference, having a Wednesday press conference, keeping the routine the same, having the band move up their appearance and their outing with the team to the second off week. All these things are designed to make this week the same. So is that in response to the way he's done this for the last 4 years? You know, two of those have an asterisk, two of them don't. So Ohio State lost those games. Ryan Day owns those. They're on his resume. And we've spent several years in a row talking after the fact about if he was too serious, if he was trying to prove a point that didn't need to be made, if he could have done anything with the play calling, this, that, the other things that have caused this losing streak to go to the level that it has, you know, what prompted you, what realization settled in that you should treat this one as much as possible without diminishing the importance of the rivalry,
is important.
He's not saying that they're not playing for gold pants on Saturday. Like, they know that the importance of that and what they're playing for and getting to Indianapolis, but what prompted some of the other things that make it your own when it comes to preparing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to be ready for Saturday? Because Urban had a way of doing it. Jim Tressel had a way of doing it. And Ryan Day, I think what seems to have happened, if I'm answering from the outside, is Ryan Day realized that he needed to coach to his own personality. Mm-hmm. And when they had that team meeting, a lot of people in that room felt like he was out of character for that game in particular. And then they got back to being Ohio State and being Ryan Day and being Will Howard and everybody else after that, which is what they should have been doing all along.
And Brandon Innes even said, I think most recently, like last week, that he just is different. He's just been a different person since they had that meeting. My other question with Ryan here, and might be a lie detector, Ryan Day.
Ooh, there it is.
Inside, deep down, that moment in the national championship was unmatched. It was unbelievable. It would go down as one of the greatest stories in college football history. But if he wins Saturday, is that the biggest sigh of relief celebration of your career? Because there's a lot of talk. People keep saying, if Ryan Day goes and wins another national title and does back-to-back, I don't think from where we are with Ryan Day, we expect I think he'll be around for a very long time. Ryan Day is going to win multiple national championships in his tenure. But there's something about what would be the perfect year. The idea, and maybe you extend it to the Big Ten championship if you want. But if they beat Michigan, Ryan has had a perfect year. He was at the point where they were barging at the gates, not necessarily all figuratively. And he stared it down and he found a way out.
Yep.
And he won a Rose Bowl. He won a Cotton Bowl. He won a national title. And then he would have beaten Michigan. Is that not the sweet?
You forgot he won in Neyland North. Too,
he won in Neyland North. Maybe he gets a Heisman and a Big Ten championship. Like, if you're a Buckeye fan, I was thinking about this. I don't know the last, like, if this all goes, and it's all over the next 2 weeks. Like, it sounds like in the next 2.5 weeks, you could have the perfect Ohio State football year. It would be, there was nothing else they could have won that they didn't. And so with that, that moment in Ann Arbor, I would love to put a lie detector on him and say, like, I know what you were thinking pregame at the national title and how bad you wanted it.
Yeah.
But do you want this even that much more?
Yeah, it's another one that would be fascinating to get that truth serum in there. And it's another one that has no hope of, and it doesn't even matter what he says today or, you know, later on Tuesday, because his emotions, if and when they win, and I think that they will. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to even entertain the alternative at this point. Ohio State is too good. They're built to win this game on Saturday in a way that even last year we could argue that maybe they weren't. That's a conversation for perhaps another day and another time. But I tend to agree with you that winning a national championship is the ultimate, and that can't be taken away from him. He does not have an asterisk on that. He does not have a show cause attached to his own coaching career.
Nice.
Those things exist for somebody else. But for Ryan Day, you know, and this applies to everybody at Ohio State, really, and especially this group of players that haven't won a Big Ten championship, don't have a set of gold pants. They're always looking for the next thing to accomplish. So the Ryan Day that you and I know is not looking and caring as much about a second national championship. He's got that. That's what he got into coaching for. It's one of the things that you show off to all your peers that they've not accomplished that and you have. But what can he accomplish that he hasn't? What mountain has he not climbed before? He has won the game.
Yeah.
But he doesn't get credit for anymore because as much credit for it or any credit because it's been so long. And people forget about it.
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt
you,
but that's just really quick. People don't know he's beaten Michigan. there are many people across Ohio that forget about the Justin Fields year.
Yeah.
So continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That doesn't apply just to him because if you're looking, and Ryan Day's been talking about this more publicly in the last couple of weeks about, you know, the players having the pen in their hand to write their story. What hasn't been included in it? Even someone like Caden Curry, who's been as outwardly vocal and passionate as anybody on the Ohio State team and is drawing, you know, the championship ring on his eye black before games, doesn't have gold pants, hasn't even played a game in Lucas Oil Stadium to compete for a Big Ten national or Big Ten championship. So, like, what's next for all those guys? They've already climbed a mountaintop, but there's others out there. And so I think on Saturday, if they get to where they have been aiming to go, I think that they probably will celebrate that more close. It's hard to say for sure. They will celebrate it as passionately as they did in Atlanta 10 months ago.
This has been a debate. This is a sidebar. Obviously, we're not going to ask Ryan this, but if you were to get there, and I say it, but I'm with you. I mean, there's all roads lead to the Buckeyes winning this game.
We can't say all. Most. Because there was a narrow one a year ago.
Yeah.
And that still exists for this game, by the way, because I Bryce Underwood, it gives them a different level of quarterback than a year ago.
Listen,
Proceed.
No, but I've this is the hardest I've ever towed the line in my career. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, it's my job to talk about sports. And this is a side tangent. And I don't know what to say about this game because I don't know how I feel anymore. I almost don't trust myself anymore, if that makes sense. I have come on for the last 3 years and felt incredibly confident that even with the intangibles, even with the rivalry, that Ohio State would win. And every time I have walked away being shocked at the way things happen. So I am very, very, very nervous about the one path. But I think that all roads, if this game is played as it should be played, all roads lead to Ohio State winning. They have the best defense in the country. They're going against a freshman quarterback who makes erratic throws at times. A third string running back. I mean, the only place that I really, when I look at Michigan, that I circle is their offensive line. I think you have to find a way to win in the trenches there.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere else.
Seems like that matchup might favor Ohio State too.
What I'm saying. Like, earlier today, I was having a conversation with somebody, and we were talking about the Buckeye defense, and, you know, they said, Caleb Downs is pretty good. I said, yeah, Jermaine Matthews is pretty good. Well, they got the best linebacker duo in the country. I said, yeah, the defensive ends look pretty good. D tackles are pretty good. We got a defense here, ladies. Like, this is different. It just feels different this year. Now, with that, there is a little, if you could, like, see an x-ray of my stomach.
Okay.
It's a little knot.
Yeah, right
and
there.
I don't know how to explain it. But just move on and we'll talk about this on Saturday after the game.
Yeah.
With all that said, full circle here. With that celebration, if you get to that moment,
yeah,
do you think it's better to handle it like you've been there or handle it in the way that Buckeye fans, I'm sure, are imagining? Like, I think it's almost cooler to be like, yeah, cool, this is nothing.
I mean,
and then go in the locker room, and then you celebrate in there.
Well, let me ask you this. Did the other team act like they'd been there before?
I don't disagree.
Now, I don't think that there should be a riot. I don't think that there should be pepper spray.
I agree.
And it would be wildly out of character for Ohio State to plant a flag. So I won't advocate for any of that. And in my experience covering this game,
knew my question without me ever having to ask it.
We've got a routine going on Tuesdays, mm-hmm. and you know, we're starting to read each other's brains and minds, which is that's a scary place to be.
I showed you an X-ray on my stomach. You don't want to see up here.
And on Monday during the live show, Berm said that his stomach had floated out of his body and was preparing to eat his stomach. So that's twice now.
You know what's crazy is that's not the ninth weirdest thing Berm's ever said.
It's not, but the fact that I had to follow that up on Monday with talking Tuesday with you, and both of you are talking about the sick feeling.
Because he's probably got the same feeling. It's just right there. It's
you
just
guys
like,
need to eat some turkey on Thursday.
Yeah, I guess.
But... yeah, I don't. When Ohio State was making it routine to win, so it is interesting dynamic. Your record since covering the game, not quite so good. Mine started quite good for Ohio State and rattling off 8 wins in a row.
You can tell.
You don't. I mean, you haven't seen that happen yet, so you haven't got the.
I showed up after COVID,
so
I have yet to see them beat Michigan.
I think what irritated the Wolverines and their fan base so much was that Ohio State didn't have to celebrate like they had won a championship every year. Mm-hmm. They would expect to win. They would win. Sometimes they would do it with ridiculous comebacks that had no business mm-hmm. happening. They would always find a way. And then most of that celebration would occur back in the locker room and not out for public consumption, not to stick a thumb in the eye of their opponent or a flag on their field. They weren't doing it to that level. There was a ton of physicality. There were fights. There was trash talk. There were, angry moments in that tunnel at the Big House, which, by the way,
oh my gosh,
it's a horrible place to be.
The more that I think about it, and sidebar, I'm going to interrupt you.
We're a team here.
Okay. I feel bad because you were making a great point, but then you brought up the tunnel and I don't want to forget it.
Yeah.
I have covered an Ohio State win over Michigan, just not with 10 TV. I was at the one in Ann Arbor when JT Barrett went out and Dwayne Haskins came in.
Did you? Wait a minute. Are you admitting that you knocked out JT on the sideline?
I was my camera.
Urban's been looking for that guy for years.
Actually, interesting note, sidebar, and this is somewhere in my collection.
Double sidebar.
I have a black Buckeye leaf from that game that was laying on the field near where Austin Mack got hit.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, maybe that came flying off his helmet.
I bet it did, because he got absolutely rocked.
Yeah, and so that's somewhere in my collection of stuff. Anyway, with all that said, the tunnel is one of the greatest things in college football.
Oof.
I love it. It is like, imagine if you just took a bottle and you put chaos and hatred and anger and you just shook it up and then you said, head on out there.
Yeah, I'd prefer for somebody else to open that. I'm just going to leave it over there.
I just like to stand and watch the chaos.
Well, sometimes the problem is that the proximity to the chaos can lead to pepper spray.
Well, yes.
Or danger to equipment. And now, I've not really known Ohio State to cause a lot of those problems.
Yeah.
I'm not casting blame anywhere. But will Ohio State, if what happens, what I think is going to happen, does occur on Saturday, will they do it out in the middle of the field in the big house? I don't think that they will, because that would be the antithesis of the way that Ryan Day and the closeness of the brotherhood and that's special for them. I think that will be the loudest locker room that we've ever heard. You know, that press conference room butts up pretty close to it. Yeah. I think we'll hear a lot of words. I'm more curious, like, what will be said into microphones afterwards, because that is kind of the way that this team, in my experience, when they're winning, that's when they stick the knife into the ribs, not so much with props out for everybody else or props and cops.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay, well, my next question, let's get back to the actual game, because my next question, and I just to be clear.
There's no update. Sorry.
No. Well, it's because that's literally what I was going to say is, and I'm not going to ask about injuries. I would bet, and I've said this, and I'm out on a ledge, I would bet my life savings, it's not very much, that Carnell and Jeremiah will both play in this game. I would bet my life savings and your life savings that Carnell Tate, is it a lot?
Well, I just...
Is it bigger than mine?
I kind of need it.
Okay. You know? Well, I'll bet both of ours that they are questionable and that they take the field for warm-ups.
Yeah.
And so I think that is where I am with this. I think you're going to see both of them play. I am very confident Jeremiah is going to play. And I think Carnell, with the magnitude of the moment, will give it a go. With all of that said, I want to know how much, and we talked about this a little bit on Talking Tuesday last week, how much Ryan liked what he saw from Julian without those guys. Really, the Rutgers game was 10 times bigger than the UCLA game in that regard, because he didn't even have Quincy Porter. So what did you see from him that, and Mylon Graham in the first half? Did we ever get an answer on that?
No, we didn't.
That's what I thought.
And like 23, I think, snaps from Bryson Rogers, which was definitely well off what I expected for both of them. Yeah. So
what did you think of your quarterback when he wasn't throwing to two of the top five receivers in the NFL one day?
Yeah, that's a great way to go about that question, because maybe that would prompt some discussion about why Mylon Graham and Bryson Rogers more in depth. I don't anticipate that we're going to get any real insight on that, or Quincy Porter. Obviously, we're not going to get that about Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate on a Tuesday. And I totally understand why. I also understand why the questions will still be asked and why the intrigue very much exists 5 days out from the game. But that...
Wait,
if you're preparing...
Lie detector. We use a lie detector.
Oh, of course. You should have saved it for that.
Continue.
Oh, well. That's a missed opportunity. Mm. Next time.
That's
a good way to go about it, because this passing attack did not look like anything that we've seen for the rest of the year. Now, the running game was better, and I think that sometimes we get too enamored with the negatives and don't appreciate some of the positives that are happening, and I'm not saying that to dismiss the rest about the receiver conversation, but we can at least say there is progress being made with Bo Jackson and Isaiah West and James Peoples and C.J. Donaldson and the offensive line, and that's very much important. Depending on what happens with the weather on Saturday, we'll be keeping an eye on that, of course, but how that could impact and change the game. It simply goes without saying that Ohio State is better with Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate on the field, and Julian Sain will be as well. you know, there's been throws in the last couple of weeks. He didn't even really throw it that much on Saturday against mm-mm. Rutgers, where they just were clearly as vanilla as they could possibly get. And that's going to happen when you don't have Jeremiah and Carnell, and then you don't play Bryson Rogers and Mylon Graham or Quincy Porter for all those various reasons. I guess my question is, to build on yours, how much did you scale back, throttle back the mm-hmm. offense for Julian Sain, so that there is something that maybe you could tap into or not show to Michigan a week ahead? Because we all know that Ryan Day has the full confidence and trust in Julian Sain, and that goes double when he's got the best weapons out there. But if you have to build an offense for whatever reason that might be slightly limited, whether that's an absence from one, I don't think it would be both.
No.
Again, you know, what does that look like? How does that shape your thinking this week? It's another one that, you know, that's probably too game plan specific, that it's not a conversation exactly, yeah. Ryan Day is going to entertain. But at least if you're looking back and you can get a sense of if there was any frustration or concern about what Julian Sain did last week, I don't really expect that there would be. I think that the throttled down, limited version we saw on Saturday was by design.
It almost reminded me of the Texas game.
Yeah, and
obviously,
and they don't need any, and they don't need to go back to that.
No, but it almost seemed like kind of the same style. We're like, we're just here to win the game. Like, we're just win, baby. It's been
and they scored 42 points.
That's the crazy part. Everybody was so unhappy they won 42-9. Building off of what you said, because you wonder if they don't have things that they haven't shown. One thing they have shown is the rotation on the offensive line there,
yeah,
on the right side. Is this the game that you'll lock it down? Is this the game where you say, I've got to have my best guys out there and we've got to roll? Because, I don't know, we played this game now for 11 games.
I can't believe we're still having that
conversation. I know. And now we're here. And if the one thing about Michigan, I mean, their defense, I think they're top 20 in pass. They're, you know, top 10 in run. Like, yeah. It's all going to start with that line. It's all going to start with giving Julian Sain enough time. If Julian Sain has the amount of time he needs to throw the football, Ohio State is going to win this football game.
Yep.
And so I wonder if there's a decision being made almost like you're coming out of fall camp and handing the starting job again. Like, hey, here you go.
Yeah.
Let's go on this run. It's hardware season. You're our guy.
Yeah. I mean, thank God the third training camp of the year is over.
Yes.
It's been a long process.
This schedule has been weird.
It sure has. But you know what? There is nothing but talent equated hardware games left.
That's right.
So
just win.
It's real.
It's real.
You just have to win every game from here on out.
For every game.
They already won every game that's happened till now. That's pretty good too.
Chasing a perfect season.
How about that? They're trying to make history.
They're trying to make history. The first team to go 16-0 and then take the longest nap of all time. That is exhausting.
That would be well earned. No naps right here. That's right. Very busy week as we get closer to Thanksgiving, which is just a prelude to
what's your really... favorite side dish?
You got to go stuffing.
That's right. That's the right answer. And there are people out there that don't agree with that. I will say...
I would rather to be... This might be controversial.
Are you going to talk about turkey?
I would rather have a plate of just the sides and I'll give the turkey away.
It's awful.
I don't need it.
You guys, whoever started this turkey thing, it's... Let the turkeys live at this
point. Come on, pilgrims.
Yeah, the ham is so much better. Like, what? Why did we allow this to become a thing? We got turkeys that are running around here, and they're stressed out of their mind in November.
Pardon them all.
Pardon them all, because it's a dry meat that's not delicious. I love pigs, but ham is delicious.
Wow. I knew we were
really seeing eye to eye. I know that Pete is a big fan of the beet, but I hope they didn't make it to this far in the show, because yeah. I do feel bad about the pigs.
No, they watch every second.
That's right.
And they always like
ham
and subscribe.
Ham is delicious.
Which is great. Thank you for liking and subscribing, PETA, and the rest of you, America, for watching A Talking Tuesday. Ryan Day will talk at noon in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. 10 TV will have that carried for you live. 97.1 The Fan will have that on the air as well. But you can watch or listen. And then we'll be back to have some snap judgments afterwards as Berm makes his grand return. And then he will also be on the beat tomorrow for some stock watches. I don't know if there are really stocks that we could talk about from Rutgers, because probably nobody cares at this point, because it is time to focus solely on the rivalry. Adam King.
Don't let that team stand in the way.
Sorry. The rare out there is the air?
The rare out there is air. The rare out there is air.
I don't know. It's clearly time to go. He's Television's Adam King. I'm Austin Ward. Thanks for joining us. See ya.